want to wish you all a Merry Christmas once again. Again, glad that you could join us as we remember and celebrate the birth of Jesus together today. Today we're going to be exploring more deeply what Christmas is really about. And I recognize, though that it's it's hard to think about Christmas without thinking about all the gifts. It's what the kids, right? It's what they're most excited about. And therefore, finding those perfect gifts is oftentimes how we spend a lot of our time, a lot of our energy during the Christmas season. From Black Friday on, right, many of us spend a lot of time searching for the perfect gift, the bargain deal, the gift that'll make the kids, the grandkids go wild. And I bet if you went to the mall yesterday, maybe the mall today, you probably would have seen many people still frantically, right, searching for those last-minute gifts. Maybe you would have seen a few men maybe kind of wandering aimlessly, trying to think about what to get. I remember a few Decembers like that. I remember being a senior in high school, and I went to the mall with my friend Cody, and because we both needed to go Christmas shopping for our girlfriends who were sisters. And to be honest, we were there for hours, just wandering like zombies from store to store, not really knowing what to get them. Right, and so just a reminder that a big part of Christmas is searching for those perfect gifts. Well, in some ways, we're not too far off when thinking about what Christmas is really about. Christmas really is all about the perfect gift. But it's not about the gifts we find under the tree. It's about the very first gift given at Christmas, which was given by God. And that gift, of course, was His Son, Jesus Christ, who's the perfect gift. And I would guess, though, that for many people 2,000 years ago, when the gift of Jesus arrived, he didn't look very much like the perfect gift that everyone was expecting, right? The people of Israel, they were in fact expecting this gift from God. It had been prophesied again and again that God would send them a Savior, and so they were expecting maybe a king, a warrior, a great political leader, a military leader who would lead them to overthrow their enemies, their Roman oppressors. But that's not the gift that God sent them. Instead, God sent this tiny, helpless baby. And there were a lot of other things about this gift that looked less than perfect. Right on Christmas, one of the fun things about our gifts is the way they're wrapped, right? We're drawn to the bright colors and the glitter and the fancy bows. But that first gift was wrapped fairly simply in comparison. Baby Jesus wasn't wrapped in fine kingly robes or with a crown, or he didn't have a throne-like crib found in a palace. Instead, he was wrapped in strips of cloth and placed in a manger, which is this feeding trough for animals. It's just not what you would expect of a gift from God. I heard a pastor once refer to the Christmas story as kind of a redneck Christmas. And when you think about it, that's what it is, right? Jesus was born in a barn, literally. He was born to an unwed teenage mother. Right? There very well may have been cows and sheep and chickens in the delivery room. And I don't think that would go over well too much today. I've been in my fair share of delivery rooms. I can actually relate a little bit. When Adele was being delivered, our first child, we called for the anesthesiologist to come in so they could give Janelle the epidural. And it was so early in the morning, there wasn't an anesthesiologist there ready to go at the hospital. They were on call at home. And so we waited a little while, and I was expecting, someone to come in and they'd have the blue scrubs, right, or the white coat, like the other ones had had with my other kids. But in walks this older gentleman who's wearing cowboy boots, jeans, and a flannel shirt. And I came to learn later he actually owned like a goat farm that made like goat cheese, and he was out working on the farm before he came in. And he walks in, my wife's like writhing in pain, and I'm thinking, you gotta be kidding me, right? This is not the guy, right? This is the guy who's going to stick this huge needle into my wife's back, in her spine, right? Only in a small town does your anesthesiologist wear cowboy boots and own a goat farm. Well, that's a little bit what it's like, what's going on with the birth of Jesus, right? It's a redneck Christmas, not the kind of scene you would picture when God's King and Savior is coming to the world. However, even though Jesus didn't look like the perfect gift, there were still a few people who went searching for this perfect gift, right? Most people missed the first Christmas gift. The innkeeper, the politicians, the religious leaders, the rulers, they all missed him, but a few didn't. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, we're told that nearby in the town of Bethlehem, there are some shepherds who are keeping watch over their sheep. When suddenly an angel appears and says to them in verse 10 of Luke chapter 2, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." Right? And then this whole host of angels appears who are praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven." And when the angels leave, this is what the shepherds say to each other in verse 15. "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child in the manger. Right? You can kind of imagine the scene there. Right? The shepherds are out in the field. They're minding their own business, doing what shepherds do, when this angel appears before them with this incredible message. And we're told that at that moment, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and the shepherds, they're terrified. And if that wasn't enough, then this huge host of angels, even more, appear, and they start singing. And again, picture their reaction to this birth announcement of a Savior. Reminds me a little bit, again, of Adele's birth. Not too long after we got to the hospital, after Janelle went into labor, I called Janelle's mom, Kay, to let them know, you know, it's happening, the baby's coming. And it was the middle of the night, but they were down in Chicago at the time, and so I wanted to give them plenty of time to plan. I knew they wanted to come up. But later, I talked to Dave, Janelle's dad, and he said that as soon as I got off the phone with Kay, Kay kind of went crazy with her, like her head was cut off, like a chicken with her head cut off, kind of bustling about the room, like, what are we going to do? What should I bring? And there wasn't much they could do. But that's what I picture with these shepherds, right? They experience this flood of mixed emotions, excitement, fear, urgency. They hear this news, and they're kind of bumping into each other to try and get going. And off they go, sprinting to Bethlehem. And they get to Bethlehem, and they're asking around, knocking on every door, trying to find the home where a birth has taken place. And after searching with haste, they finally find Jesus. Now, the shepherds weren't the only ones who searched for Jesus. In Matthew chapter 2, we get the story of the wise men. And this is what it says in verse 1. "In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, 'Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage.'" Right? These wise men know from Scripture that a great king is going to be born in Israel. And from the star, they've determined that it's finally happened. And they travel all the way from the east to search for him. Some believe the wise men probably came from Persia, which is modern-day Iran. And so they might have traveled up to 900 miles in search of Jesus. Right? That's like traveling from here to Pittsburgh on foot or riding a camel or a horse. But as we know, the wise men found him because they searched for him with determination. They spared no expense when it came to their pursuit of finding him. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10 says this then, "When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage." Right? These wise men took a long journey to find God's perfect gift. Christmas is all about searching for that perfect gift. And I think the story of the shepherds and the wise men causes us to step back and ask of ourselves, really, what is it that I'm really searching for this Christmas? What does your heart search for? I think all of us search after many of the same things. We want to be happy in life. We want to have love. We want to have safety and security. We want to matter. We want our lives to have purpose and meaning. We're all searching. But oftentimes we search for those things in the wrong places. What we're all really searching for, I think, deep down inside is really what is really God. He's the only one who can truly fulfill all those desires. When God created us, he put a desire within us to want to know him, to want to seek him. He gave you a desire to have meaning, to have purpose. And so this Christmas, we're encouraged to seek after Jesus. Don't miss God's perfect gift. Jeremiah 29:13 says this. God says this here. "When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart." Like the shepherds search for Jesus with urgency and haste. Like the wise men search for him with determination and perseverance. Search for him with all your heart. But here's the most important thing we need to understand about Christmas. Here's the message the Christmas story really brings us. You may be searching for God, or you may not, but even more so, God is searching for you. Luke 19:10 says this, "For the Son of Man," that's Jesus, "came to seek out and to save the lost." That's the gift that God gave us on the first Christmas. He came to find us, right? We are lost. We are lost in our sin, in our mistakes. We're lost in our broken relationship with God. When I think about what it means that God wants to seek us out, to find us, I think about my own kids and how they've gotten lost at times. You know, we've never really lost them for a significant amount of time, but there have been a few kind of brief scares. I remember losing them, you know, at a store or something, and it takes a little while, and you're frantically searching and start yelling out to try to find them. Or a few summers ago, I remember losing sight of Isaac, our youngest, at the cabin while playing in the water. One minute he's right there next to me, and I'm having a conversation with someone, and the next he's gone. And he just snuck inside for a minute without us noticing, but I didn't know that at the time. And so we're frantically searching everywhere, fearing the worst, you know, checking the water until we found him. But just imagine now, this is what it's like that God searches for us. We're God's children. He created us. He loves us, and he desperately wants to find us, to bring us back to him. And it's not that we're physically lost and God can't find us. The problem is that our heart is lost. It's not where it belongs. St. Augustine once said this, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Right? Our heart is restless until it rests in you. And so God literally comes down to earth in Jesus to get us back. Now, it can be easy for a lot of us to think, you know, I don't really deserve that. I've made too many mistakes. God's long forgotten about me. But this is exactly why Jesus came the way he did. God is sending us a message in the way that Jesus is born. There's a reason it's a redneck Christmas. There's a reason Jesus was born in a barn, not a palace. And that is that everybody's welcome in a barn. Right? From the greatest to the least, from the lowly shepherds to the magnificent wise men, God is trying to tell us that this gift is for everyone. Remember what the angel told the shepherds, "I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people." God's gift is for everyone. Not just for the well-dressed, the well-behaved, the well-mannered, the well-educated. Jesus is not just for those who dress like us or have the same skin color, the same political beliefs. He's for all people. He's even for the worst of us. For those who've made the biggest mistakes, the worst sins. I think sometimes we kind of confuse Jesus and Santa Claus. We think Jesus has a nice and naughty list like Santa Claus, right? He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. And if we do enough good, we'll get on God's good side and find ourselves in heaven. But here's the truth. God doesn't have a nice and naughty list. Because in reality, really, we're all on the naughty list. Right? We've all sinned. Doesn't matter how small or great the sin is, we've broken our relationship with God. We've been unfaithful. We've given our hearts to other things. But that's exactly why God sent us the incredible gift of his Son to find us, to save us from our sins. And he does it all by grace through faith. And so Jesus is for every single one of us, no matter who you are, what you've done, how you look, where you're from. Jesus is for you. One of the things we can often miss about the Christmas story is just how much we see God's love for us in it. Every year we do a Christmas program here at our church, and I've had 4 kids while we're here at Bethesda, and I think each of my kids have played baby Jesus at some point. And I have this picture here from 2013, when Mary was played by Olivia Peer, this teenager in our church, and Micah, that's Micah there, my son, he was Jesus. And for a brief instant, I got a little feeling of what it was like for God to give up his son. You know, Olivia was 15 at the time, so she was probably pretty close to how old Mary was. And no offense to Olivia, though, but I couldn't give her my son to raise, right? That kind of half an hour was enough. right? These are my kids. I want them with me. I want them safe with me. And so do we know what it really means that God, because of his love for us, sends his son down from the protection of heaven with his son by his side, sends him down to live to be raised by a teenager and her soon-to-be husband. And knowing, and not only that, but knowing that his son would die. Right? In any relationship, the depth of love can be determined by the level of sacrifice. And in Jesus, God sacrificed everything for us. That's how much he loves us. John 3:16 says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." And so Jesus really is the perfect gift. And I hope you realize this Christmas just how much that gift costs God and just how much we receive from it. Pastor Rick Warren describes it like this: "He sent Jesus so that you could have your past forgiven, a reason for living, and a home in heaven." And so be encouraged this Christmas that God has come for you. A Savior has been born for you. And so like the shepherds, go with haste to find him. Run with all your heart. And like the wise men, search with determination. Spare no expense. Leave everything else behind. Search as long as it takes for you to find Jesus. Find him, worship him, believe in him. Put your trust in him and give your life to him, because he did the same for us. Let's pray.